Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Shriram Transport Finance Limited Q1 FY 2019 results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I'm now glad to hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Revankar, Managing Director and CEO, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening to everyone in India, and good morning to the investors who joined from U.S. I hope all of you have gone through the investor update that I sent you earlier. Initially, I'll provide a brief overview on the macroeconomic scenario and developments on the ground before I share highlights of our performance. Let me begin with the Indian economy, which has stabilized and now firmly established on the recovery path. GDP growth in the quarter of January to March was at 7.7%, which was the fastest in the last seven quarters and enabling the country to retain its ranking in the world's as the world's fastest major economy. Economic growth in India has been supported by a strong performance in construction, manufacturing, and infrastructure, pointing to a persistent revival trend. In addition to the pickup in GDP growth, there has been uptick in GST collection after averaging around 90,000 crores per month for 9 months. The GST collection April, May, June has averaged around 97,000 crores. And this trend is likely to government is likely to achieve 1, one lakh crore per month during the fiscal year. Even as it indicates increased compliance, but also it indicates growth is taking root in the economy across all region and industry. Monsoon is progressing well as it is set in across the country, about 15 days ahead of the schedule. Distribution has remained concentrated in the south and west. The northern part, especially UP, Bihar, and east, West Bengal and northeast part have deficient rainfall, deficient to the extent of around 20-25. But the recent last 1 week's rainfall in UP indicates that there is a revival again. Kharif sowing has been little behind the schedule because of uneven monsoon, but I hope it will cover the same area as last year. As of now, it is around 8% less than the last year. The recent announcement of MSP hike will support growth in agri incomes. This augurs well for consumption demand from the rural areas within the country. And last 2 years, good monsoon is already helping the rural areas' consumption to go up. And also, we expect the infrastructure activity also to improve as the government has provided additional amount in this year's budget, which is likely to be consumed in the rural economy. And that will create a further job and also consumption in the rural area. Let me touch upon some parameters in CV industry. Overall commercial vehicle segment registered a growth of 51.55 during April to June 2018 compared to the same period last year. However, there were lack of availability in the previous year, therefore it may not be comparable. Still, the demand seems to be quite good and consistent. July-August is normally weak in demand every year. So we expect the demand into July and August to be a little lower for heavy vehicles. But September, it should again start. The demand should start there. However, the demand for LCVs and used vehicle, which is normally being in demand in and tractors in the rural area, that should continue to do well even in month of July and August. Recently, a Ministry of Road Transport and Highway has increased maximum permissible axle load by around 15% on average. The strict interpretation of this notification would apply that the revision to new truck only, given that nearly 40% of the truck usage have a fixed load, implying that there is no further addition to the load, like vehicle carrier, car carrier, scooter carrier. These are all have fixed load. You cannot really have more load. Balance 60% has been overloading in most of the trucks. So we believe it should not have a significant impact. However, the increase in maximum permissible load may not officially increase GVW of old vehicle, which has been certified for lower tonnage by OEMs and testing agency. The way forward would be for OEM to develop and get certified higher tonnage vehicle on the same number on the all the vehicle axles, which may take few months. This may involve changes in chassis, axle, steering, tire, brakes, etc. The fleet operator may choose to delay truck purchase till availability of higher tonnage, higher certified tonnage vehicle. That may postpone a demand for maybe a couple of months for a heavy vehicle. We estimate only 4 to 5% volume impact due to that for sale of new vehicle. But in used vehicle, we don't expect any changes. There are some headwinds to the economic growth, like oil prices, higher inflation, higher interest rate, as well as weakness in rupee. With oil prices increasing consistently this year, there has been a corresponding increase in fuel price, which has further impacted weakness in rupee and also in the revenue of our customers. However, the advantage they got is due to implementation of GST and removal of border check post, vehicle have been able to cover longer distance per day than earlier. The efficiency increase is around 25 to 30%, implying that the revenue generation, the revenue earning per day has gone up, and that has reasonably managed the increase in fuel price. And the truckers have been able to earn reasonably enough to repay their installment in time. In the last monetary policy meeting, the RBI has increased repo rate by 25 basis point to 6.25, citing inflation risk. However, we currently do not foresee significant pressure on our NIMs, and we expect to remain largely stable given the structure of lending and borrowing mechanism. Given the strong demand that we foresee, we came out with NCD issue size of 1,000 crores, and we're happy to say that in spite of volatility in the bond yields during the issue period, the issue attracted very good response, and we had a 3.65 times oversubscription, which we decided to retain to fund our growth. Given the expansion in rural market, we expect lending yields to remain stable and in spite of increase in cost and higher retail borrowing. To close, I am confident that with demand being consistent, our AUM growth of 18-20%, which we indicated, is likely to continue throughout the year. This quarter, we have adopted Ind AS framework starting from this quarter, which is made mandatory for NBFCs with effect from April 1st. Hence, comparable period numbers have been restated in compliance with Ind AS. Now, let me briefly touch upon our headline numbers for the quarter. AUM grew by 21.97% year-on-year to 1 lakh crore against 82,597 crores. The net interest income was higher by 19.58% to 1840.3 crores compared with 1538.95 crores in the corresponding quarter last year. Net interest margin stood at 7.44 compared with 7.41 in Q1 FY18. In spite of rising bond yields, we expect our net interest margin to remain stable. This gives us opportunity to maintain the profit growth beyond the AUM growth. PAT is has increased by 24.37 year-on-year to 571.72 crores against 459.69 crores in Q1 FY18. EPS per share is 25.20 compared with 20.26 in Q1 FY18. Collection efficiency and asset quality is improving. We should be able to bring down overall credit cost, which was around 2.47 last year in the first quarter, to around 2% as per Ind AS calculation by this year end. Our total number of branches now stand at 1230 numbers and rural centers at 854 numbers. The total number of employees stand at 24.533 as on 30th June 2018. Good branch network and the rural network, and focusing on north and east, we should be able to maintain our growth targets. In general, we are quite comfortable and happy with the performance, and I'm confident that we'll continue to deliver consistent, profitable, and responsible growth even in the future. With this, I end my remarks, and I'm with Mr. Sundar and Parag and Sanjay Mundra. So any specific questions, we all will answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prakhar Agarwal from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. A couple of questions from my side. First, when I look at your provisioning analysis, so under gross stage 3 and the gross NPA number that we have reported as per ICAI, there's a significant difference. Why should it be so?
See, in the IGAAP numbers, the gross NPA was considered only for the on-books portfolio, and the securitized portfolio was not considered for the purpose of reporting gross NPAs, calculation of gross NPAs. And if you reconcile that, I'll just briefly tell you what exactly is the reason for the difference.
Sure.
June 18, the gross NPAs that have been reported is 7458 crores, and to that you need to add an increase on account of the off-books portfolio, that is the securitized portfolio, amounting to 1120 crores. And further in Ind AS, we can recognize the income derecognized as per the IGAAP earlier. See, in IGAAP, RBI provisions require, prudential norms require that the interest income on the NPAs needs to be derecognized, but under Ind AS it can be added back. So that component is 578 crores. So summation of these three numbers comes to 9,127 crores, which is the stage 3.
So which is 7,458 plus 1,120 and 578 crore.
578, yeah.
And in terms of ECL provision, when I look at stage 1 and stage 2, it is 2.5%. Do we expect it to be similar levels going forward as well?
Maybe over a period of time, it may gradually come down, but will not significantly happen, but gradually it should happen.
So that will depend upon the operating environment.
Correct.
And so we have not given reconciliation in terms of whole year profitability for FY18 in terms of impact of Ind AS transition. Can I have that if possible?
Yeah. So if you see the cumulative impact on the net worth is you want for the entire as on June 18 you want or as on March 18 you want?
As on March 18 will be great.
Okay. As on March 18 it is 878 crores, which is the addition to the net worth.
878 crores, addition to the net worth.
Net worth. And if we also take into account the current quarter's difference of 33 crores, so the net worth is 111 crores post-tax.
I missed the last part.
See, for June, then, as per IGAAP, it is 540 crores. Whereas as per Ind AS, it is 572 crores. There is a difference increase of 33 crores on account of following Ind AS. If you consider that plus the opening gap of 878 crores, roughly around 910 crores of net worth has been added because of shifting to Ind AS, which has resulted in a book value of around 40 rupees.
Okay. And sir, can I have the disbursement number? Last question from my side.
The disbursement number for used vehicle is total disbursement is 13,425 crores, okay. Out of which new is 1,936 crores, used is 10,955 crores, okay. And business loan is 534 crores, making it total 13,425 crores.
Thank you so much, sir. That is all from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayushi Mohta from CD Equisearch. Please go ahead.
Sir, what's the status of corporate guarantee given to SBL Limited?
No, see, this item, this particular exposure, which was offline, now it has become part of the book as per the Ind AS. And we have taken it as a standard asset.
Okay, so by when is it expected to be recovered?
No, see, this the due is June 30th, 2019. This is a guarantee given, and the due date is June 30th, 2019. So there is enough time for the SBL to make the payment.
Okay, so you consider it as a standard asset, right?
Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manish Oswal from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, my question on the cost of funds during the quarter. Can you give me the marginal cost of funds movement quarter to quarter?
See, for the quarter, most of the borrowing has come by way of securitization. We have done securitization to the extent of 4,600 crores. So cost of fund has not moved up because of this. It was at around 9%. It continues to be around 9% only. So not much of change during the quarter.
Okay, sir. Excluding securitization, what is our cost of fund, sir?
Excluding securitization, the overall borrowing is hardly anything. We have done not much of borrowing otherwise.
Okay. Secondly, second question I have on collection efficiency trend in our business. So, how's the trend and what is outlook going ahead?
The collection trend is strong. See, we did not see any much difference or gap in the performance. So, the April, May, June, the collection has been good. And considering the rural economy is likely to be very strong, we expect the collection to be very good in this financial year.
Okay. And sir, operating expenses growth in this quarter is very strong at 30.47%. So is there any one-off in terms of advertisement spending? Because of late I've seen a lot of ad from Shriram Transport. So can you share the one-off item if anything in that line?
No, see, no doubt there has been certain promotional expenses by way of advertisement and all those things, but it is an one-off. But the other factor that has resulted in the growth is primarily the increase in the branch network as well as the increase in the employee strength.
Okay. And last question on the Ind AS, sir. There's a 49 crores impact of the credit cost in the reconciliation slide.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my question is, the full year, the impact on the profitability because of this Ind AS reporting is close to 200 crores on like-to-like basis?
It would be difficult to comment because we will not be sure whether every quarter this impact will be there. So maybe roughly you can consider around 25 to 30 crores, I would say.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishan Shah from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Three questions from me. First is on the reconciliation that you've provided on slide 11. So the adoption of EIR for amortization of expenses or financial liabilities, so why should this be a negative number? Ideally, it should be a positive, right?
Supposing if in the current quarter, there has been not much of a payouts on account of the upfront processing fee that we pay for either securitization or either any other borrowing compared to March. March, generally, since the borrowing is very huge, there will be upfront fees which will be substantial. So that in March, IGAP, we generally book it upfront. The entire thing is expensed out. But in the AS, it has to be reversed and then again rebooked. And if June, that is not much of an upfront payment, because of the opening coming in, it will be negative.
Okay. Fair point. And this others of 17 crores and minus 25 crores, what is this?
There are multiple items, so that's the reason we just grouped it together. So there are many small items.
Okay, it's nothing lumpy or meaningful, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Second question, I think in the opening remarks, sir mentioned that this axle load limit increase. So I don't know if I just got the number wrong or what, but I think I heard that 40% of the capacity is fixed load, like there are two vehicle carriers or some carriers or some specialized vehicles where your capacity cannot be increased. So is that number right, 40% of the outstanding capacity?
Yeah, this is basically on the interstate, on highways, this is the number, not on the rural side. I'm talking only highway transportation.
Oh, okay. But for the overall industry, how much could it be? Should it be this high? It seems like a very large number.
It will be much lower, but since we are focusing on new vehicle, and new vehicles basically ply on the national highway, so, and the fixed load is normally industrial goods, and it is transported on the highway. So, I have only focused on new vehicle that is likely to be impacted and mentioned 40%.
Okay, fair. And the third and final question, again, a little bit of conceptual question on IFRS. So, when you estimate the provision requirements, say the LGDs that you estimate, the long-term LGDs should largely remain the same quarter on quarter. It's just that the mix of the products might change, and therefore that can probably result in like a variation in your ECL. Is that understanding correct?
Correct, yeah. It is correct.
Okay, fair. Thanks. That's all from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurav Kumar from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Sir, on this net worth increase from Q4 to 1Q, so there's essentially 2,000 crores write back of provisions, right? That's the way you understand it?
No. See, your as on June, you're saying, or as on March?
Yeah, so as of March, your net worth under the old accounting was about 12,500 crores, and this has become 14,000 crores. So there is a 500 crore dividend and the 1000 crores odd would have been the 2000 crores odd would have been the provision write back on the one out of excess provisions you were carrying. That's the
As on June 18, the cumulative, including the March number, as on March number, the total increase before tax is 1,400 crores. And after considering the taxation, the increase is 900 crores.
Okay. So if I look here, as your on book...
Net worth increase is 900 crores, roughly.
Okay, I have 12,500. Okay, so your on book provisions as of June were, March were 5,200 crores, which are now 3,300 crores, right?
It is, as on June, the on-books provision is 5,326 crores.
Correct.
And the standard asset provision is 302 crores.
Correct.
And the standardized provision, which generally don't come part of the NPA, so that was 712 crores. The summation of these three items is 6,340 crores. And we, as per Ind AS, we are eligible to book the income which has been reversed as per IGAAP. So that comes to around 578 crores. The summation of all these things is 6,918 crores. Whereas in Ind AS, we have provided for stage 3, 3,318 crores. And stage 1 and 2 put together, we have provided 2,340 crores. The total comes to around 5,658 crores. So difference between these two is 1,260 crores. Which is the benefit
Which is the benefit. So 2340 crores is essentially the stage 1 and 2.
2340 is the stage 1 and 2.
Okay. And what will be like, what will be the standard asset provision which you take on this, stage 1?
If you see the PD, we have considered 5.82% as the 12-month PD for stage 1.
Okay.
And the lifetime PD is 13.39%. So the mix will be different. There will be different rates applied for different products.
Okay.
So this is an average number that we are putting. And the LGD comes to around 34% roughly.
Which is the coverage you have. Okay.
Yeah. And for stage 3, anyway, 100% we need to provide.
Fair. And sir, this on the AUM, so we have this business loans and working capital loans. So what is the security you normally have against this? And how much of it is against your existing customers?
Basically all the working capital loans are given to the existing customers and not to the new customers. So they are not a personal loan to the new customer. It is working capital loan to the existing customer who have already repaid a certain amount. So there is asset coverage, vehicle is there, and amount is typically small, so around 30,000-40,000. So it has enough asset coverage. So it is fully secured in that way.
But fully secured against a vehicle, right?
Vehicle, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And business loan?
See, business loan, again, there are two components. The existing customer who has some other business or additional business or who want to get into new business where he has got a track record. For them, we are lending. And all of them are having a property security as an additional. So it's basically mortgage loans, but since he is having business with us, we call it as a business loan, and we assess the business, and against the cash flow, we lend. But the security what we take, property, are additional security.
Okay. So these are all both to your existing customers.
Both are existing customers. No exposure to new customers.
And typically, this business will be what, like if he's already a truck driver, so what will he be doing? Like, this won't be to a fleet operator, right?
It is typically a larger operator because person, it sometimes it could be also a small operator. Imagine somebody having a fruit wholesale business, and if he has a cold storage, then he may have some shop, then he may need some additional money for that. That is one thing. And bigger fleet operator who have a warehouse, petrol pump, packaging, wholesale distribution. So these activities we are lending. Some people even have tire dealership. So this the logistic ecosystem lending, what we call, and these are all the businesses where our customers already progressed. So nearly 30% of our customers have already are progressed and having additional business with him or with his relatives. So in that case, we lend to them.
Okay. And sir, just one final question on this axle load increases. So the way we understand is your existing customer income goes up because of the overloading, but the new demand may come down. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah, new vehicle demand will come down, maybe 2 or 3 months. But if economic activity is very strong, then automatically the demand will go up.
Yeah, but your existing customer, his income will go up, right? Because he can theoretically.
Actually, most of them are already doing some overloading, official or unofficially. Okay. But the only thing is, the limit was not known. So even if you overload by 10 kilos, you would be harassed on the road.
Yeah.
But when you increase the limit, what happens is there is no harassment. So he can officially take the load very comfortably without being stopped. That's the advantage.
All right, sir. Thank you, sir. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piyush Chheda from Arihant Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the number. Just want to understand a little bit more about.
Piyush, you're not audible.
Hi, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yes, sir, we can hear you now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes,
sir. Sorry. Gentlemen, congratulations on a great set of numbers. Just like to understand a little more about the inherent cyclicality in your business. Would it be fair to say that we should expect an ROA somewhere between, say, 2.2 to 2.8 over the course of a full cycle in this business? 2.2 at the bottom of the cycle, closer to 2.8 at the top of the cycle?
Yes, 2.2, yes, and 2.8 also, yes, you're right, almost you're on dot.
And in the towards the bottom of the cycle, should we say an asset growth rate of somewhere between 5 to 10%, while in the better part of the cycle, somewhere close to 18-20%? Would that be the kind of range of outcomes you would see?
I can say the upper limit can be little higher. It can be 25 also, depending upon the environment and GDP growth. If GDP growth goes beyond 8 or 9, then definitely there will be huge opportunity to grow. And in the bottom, it could be a minimum 10. Why I'm telling minimum 10 is there is always a increase in resale value of a vehicle over the period. And that makes the ticket size to go up a little. So because of the either inflation you can see or new vehicle price, and that is automatically gives you a little larger ticket. And as we increase our penetration, because we have 1,230 branches plus 854 rural centers. As we have more reach, our ability to penetrate into new market and nearby market improves. So the 10 to 12 is something which we can increase even when economy is not really doing well.
Great, sir. Thank you so much. Congratulations and all the best for the future.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Jain from Investec. Please go ahead.
Sir, on your ECL provisioning, if I just compare Q1 FY19 provisions with the FY18 provisions, there is an increment of around 10 crores in the provisions, while your credit cost for the quarter is around 530 crores. So is it reasonable to expect that during the quarter we have wrote off 520 crores worth of loans?
There has been a write-off. Quarter on quarter, if you see historically also, there has been write-off happening. And this quarter, the write-off amount, I just tell you. Can you just go on to the next question before that? I will take out this number.
Secondly, the ECL provisioning on stage 1 and stage 2 is quite volatile. In Q1 FY18 is at 2.9%, then 2.7% for full year, and then 2.55%. What is leading to high volatility in this number? Is it just purely mix change, or you are also changing your probability of default and LGD numbers on a line of business basis?
We are also seeing that, we have taken a 5-year period of the historical data and analyze the data, and we are arriving at what is the probability of default. So that number, if you see over a period of time, it is coming down purely basis that the business team has been over a period of time getting adjusted to the new NPA norms. Earlier they used to wait till 180 days then start reacting, but as and when the RBI guidelines started coming in and making it 90 days. So we have also been pushing the business team hard, as well as they have also been educating the customers. So the behavior is gradually changing, and we expect that going forward, in fact, the percentages should improve, I would say, marginally.
But quarter on quarter, because FY18 is 2.7 and then 2.55 is there, that seems to be a large variation in that number on a quarter on quarter basis.
We are comparing, we have been seeing each quarter, what is given to you is June and June to June, but internally we have a trend which is appearing, which we feel that confident that the PD is over a period of time comes on, but the other factor which again drives this is that the lifetime default. Supposing if in the previous year, to June 2017, the average tenure was 36 months and currently it is 42 months. If a case is in stage 2, because of tenure also the lifetime PD changes. So there are multiple factors which rise to this anomaly.
Sure. And just lastly on the balance sheet and reconciliation. So if you look at the balance sheet, the loan number is around 95,000 crores. If I compare with our AUM, which is around 1 lakh crore. So how one should look at these two numbers?
Come in, can I just didn't get it.
On the balance sheet, the loans number is 95,000 crores, while our AUM number is 1 lakh crore, and on balance sheet number is, on balance sheet is around 83,000 crores.
Okay, I'll come back to you. Maybe Sanjay will give the recommendation to you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishabh M. from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, what is the credit cost guidance for the full year FY19?
See, credit cost, as per Ind AS, if you calculate, we should be able to come close to 2% by year end.
Okay. Sir, and what is the coverage ratio you're assuming while calculating that?
Rishabh, if you can please turn off the speaker, your voice is echoing.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, is it better now?
What was the question? Can you just repeat the question?
Sir, I'm just asking as to what is the coverage ratio towards which you're working with when you calculate, when you set a target of 2% of credit cost. Because at Q4 you had said that you will wait for the Ind AS transition before thinking about bringing down the current coverage ratio from the 71 odd levels to a lower number. So what is the plan now that Ind AS transition is done?
Yeah, see, if you see the current quarter, the earlier 71% was on the on-balance sheet NPAs alone, and apart from that we had off-balance sheet securitized portfolio wherein there was a 1000 crore portfolio which was more than 90 days, for which we were carrying a provision of close to 700 odd crores. So these two put together, the coverage was coming to around 67% if you take both the weightage of on-books and off-books. That, as for the Ind AS, it has come down to 57%. So effectively this 10% has been released And that is the reason why the net worth of the company under Ind AS has gone up. So going forward also, we expect around 55 to 60% should be the broad range, I would say.
Okay, so under Ind AS, the coverage is 57% and you would maintain that going forward, right?
Correct.
But assuming that, your credit cost guidance is 2% for this year, FY19.
Correct, correct.
Right. Sir, and what explains the dip in NIM from about 7.54 to 7.44 over the quarter?
No, I see the drop is 7.51 to 7.44. This is one is a little increase in the borrowing cost, and another one is the new vehicle portfolio has gone up significantly compared to last year. So that's also some reason. So, but however, it is very marginal.
Okay. And sir, and what is your AUM target for the year, if you can reiterate? I missed it in the opening comments.
No, we had given an indication of 18 to 20%. We had given the guidance. And we should be able to manage that growth.
Yes, sir, because you had said that the new vehicle demand might face some headwinds due to this increase in axle loads and all. So, and new vehicle segment has been one segment which has been working really well for you over the past few quarters. So, instead of that, you are sticking to the 18 to 20% AUM target?
See, new vehicle is just 15-20% of our monthly disbursement. So, that should not have big impact on us. Even if the new vehicle lending reduces to some extent in a heavy vehicle, but the demand for the LCVs will continue. So the LCV and tractor demand is continuing. Only in heavy vehicle demand may come down, and this is also due to seasonal factor. July, August is normally low pickup for a heavy vehicle. And the axle load ratio could be an added factor. So we don't really expect growth coming from heavy vehicle, new heavy vehicle.
Okay. Sir, and have you analyzed that the scrappage policy which is being worked on by the government, will it have any impact on the demand per se?
In fact, it should increase the demand for a used vehicle, because earlier when government was talking about 15 years, scrappage, people were indecisive, and they were the prices of vehicle beyond 11-12 years was dropping significantly. But now since it is announced as 20 years, people have a breathing period. So I see the resale values of the vehicle between 8 to 12 years, which was getting suppressed, will get released. So I feel the resale prices of second-hand vehicle will go up, because they have a longevity. Because more the longevity, then automatically the resale value will go up. So I expect the used vehicle demand, especially between 5 to 10 years, to go up.
Okay. Sir, and how has been the trend of the age of the vehicles, especially in the used vehicle segment, which you have been financing over the last 1 year?
See, we were lending up to 12 years earlier. And last 2 years, we started lending only up to 10 years because of the uncertainty. So, what I should say is that will get released to some extent. The resale values will go up in that. And I feel that should help the business to go up, and we to go to a little more deeper, because deeper rural area, you will get older vehicle. Older means more than 10, 12, 15. So as we are getting deeper into rural area, we should be able to fund the vehicle between the 7 to 10 years, which was suppressed. And we should be able to do more of a used vehicle in this vehicle range.
Right, sir. Thank you and all the best.
So before we take the next call, I'll just reply to the previous caller's query. One was that the AUM of 1 lakh crore was not coming out in the balance sheet of 95,000 crore. Primarily, as per the Ind AS, the provisions are required to be netted off against the loans itself. So if my loan is 1 lakh 1 crore and I'm carrying an ECL provision of say 5,000 odd crores, so that gets netted off against the loans, and hence 95,000 has been reported in the balance sheet as per the Ind AS. And the second question was the write-off. In the quarter ended June, we have written off 528 crores as write-off, as against a write-off of 350 crores in Q1 2018. This has been primarily that we have started whatever has been our earlier portfolio of Shriram Equipment Finance. So we have been identifying certain cases which has been already provided 100%, and we have consciously started writing off certain loans of equipment, and that has contributed to a spike in the write-offs in the current quarter. Yeah. We can go to the next question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankit Chaudhary from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question was on the AUM part. So in the current quarter, as you also mentioned, that the share of the new vehicles have increased, AUM of new vehicles have increased faster than the pre-owned segment, despite we being getting more into the deeper rural areas. So anything to look over there? So are we trying to change some stance, moving towards the new or something?
No, it is not anything. The new vehicle demand in the this quarter was a little higher than the normal. And therefore, that the 55% growth was there in the overall sales. So some of them just flowed into us because many of our customers would have transitioned into a new vehicle. We don't get into market for a market share. It is only if our existing customer want to upgrade to a new vehicle, then we lend to them. And the demand in the north and east has been quite strong on the new vehicle.
Okay. Second thing was on this asset quality front. So basically the diesel cost has been increasing, and you mentioned that post GST there has been an efficiency in the vehicles of 20-25%. But the freight cost on the other end has not been getting increased much. So are we seeing any pain on the cash flows of our customers, especially the fleet, single fleet operators or the higher users?
See, one thing is efficiency has gone up. At the same time, fuel price also has gone up. So even though there is an advantage, there is also a disadvantage. So net-net, there is not big advantage. They were able to manage because of efficiency increase. But the fuel price increase reduced their margin to some extent.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Karthik Chalappa from Buena Vista Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congrats on the good numbers. My first question is, the adoption of Ind AS by and large has been manageable for us from a net worth point of view. And in the first quarter, our profits have also been very healthy, about 570 odd crore. And the share of our off books has also risen. Why then is the tier 1 not improving materially? It is very, very similar to what we had in the last quarter under IGAP.
Yeah, this capital adequacy, what we have now reported is as per the Ind AS, wherein 14.28% is the tier 1 capital and 2.78% is the tier 2 capital, making it 17.06. Had we followed the IGAP, our tier 1 would have been 14.31%, tier 2 would have been 2.41 and total 16.72. There has been a marginal benefit in the overall tier thing, but in tier 1 there has been a drop. This has been primarily because the securitized portfolio, which is now currently treated as an on-books portfolio, had always been a, we were maintaining a capital of around 5% only. See, if you know that this our for the purpose of calculation of capital adequacy, the securitized portfolio always had this first loss and second loss component, and we are required to reduce this first loss and second loss from the net worth of this company. But supposing if tier 2 is provided by some other entity other than the originator, then it can be treated as an exposure only, risk-weighted exposure. And in all our deals, what we have done, banks have given the support for second loss. And only this first loss was reduced from the capital all along, which was around 5%. But now, since it has come on the books, we were required to maintain close to 14%. And hence, there has not been much of a benefit in the Tier 1, despite of around 900 crores on the net worth front.
And under IGAAP, you said the Tier 1 is about 14.31.
Correct.
Which means even under IGAAP, where for the securitization portfolio, even if you had considered only 5% charge, the benefit to our Tier 1 is basically only 3 basis points.
Not really. See, I have been maintaining 14% for on-balance items. So supposing if the same 14% had been maintained and the entire book comes on books, the off books thing, and nothing changes, then my Tier 1 would have come down by, say, maybe around 50-60 basis points. Or slightly more also.
The substance of my question essentially is, if you look at Q1 of FY18, under IGAAP, it used to be about 14.89. That has come down to about 13.52. So my concern is that given we are still guiding an 18 to 20% growth and where capital adequacy norms under Ind AS are probably stricter, whether we can manage that growth without needing additional Tier 1 capital.
Yeah, we have done. So, and we are confident that for the next 1 or 2 years, we don't require additional capital to manage this growth.
Got it. Sir, and my last question is, as far as the business loans and working capital loans are concerned, what would the effective yield and the duration of the loan be?
See, working capital loans are on an average 6 to 9 months. Because mostly they are a tire loan or the insurance loan. And business loan is between 3 to 5 years.
And the interest rate would be?
Interest rate would be for the working capital loan, it is around 20%. And for business loan, it will be between 16 to 18%.
So in a way, if these two loans grow at a faster rate, it will actually be yield enhancing. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah. See, in fact, on working capital, we are making a lot of effort. Here, I would like to inform, probably I did not inform earlier, we have tied up with HPCL, the Hindustan Petroleum, for the credit to our customer. It works in a very simple way. Our customer goes to the petrol pump, puts the fuel. Before putting fuel, he will take a OTP for approval. And moment that the OTP is put, the person will be able to avail a credit for the fuel. So he can fill the tank and go. And the company will make the payment to HPCL next day. So customer has an option to pay any time. So he can repay within 1 day or 2 days. We are charging interest on a daily basis. So he can take a credit for 15 days or up to 30 days. So that's how we have designed it. And we have given a limit to each of the customers. So to that limit, he can take the credit. Because the fuel price is going up and he doesn't get fuel credit, and most of the time they do not have a credit card, we felt this will help the customer. And we intend to enroll 1 lakh customer by June 19, and we expect the business volume to go up. So, similar to this, we intend to do the fuel credit, tire credit, then of course the insurance. These are all the consumable item for the customer in the running of the vehicle. And we would be able to get higher yield on that. And we want to have a significantly higher working capital growth to our customer. One is, it is yield enhancing, but more than yield enhancing, the alternative borrowing rate in the market for the customer will be very high if he has to take a credit. And that will help our customers' operations very smooth. So it's more than earning more yield. It is making the customer operation smooth. That is the main goal. and incidentally we'll be earning higher yield.
So this yield is about 20-odd%, whereas business loans is around 14-15%.
Business loan is 16-18% and working capital is around 20%.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Megha Shah from Future Generali. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My questions have been answered.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kamal Verma from CLSA. Please go ahead. Kamal Verma from CLSA, please go ahead with your questions.
Yes, sir. Good evening. Just to understand the Ind AS transition properly, what all adjustments in the net worth you would have made when you transition to Ind AS?
The major thing was on the ECL front. In ECL front, okay, as for the ICAP, it was an incurred loss model, whereas in the Ind AS, it is an expected credit loss model.
Yeah.
So that is a major shift that has happened, and when we are into this ECL mode, the Ind AS allows the company to recognize income on the stage 3 cases also, whereas in the ICAP, as per the RBI prudential norms, once the case becomes an NPA, we are supposed to reverse all those unrealized income. So this is the major shift that has happened. Apart from that, okay, as far as our company is concerned, small, the other one was the major thing was the securitization, which was treated as an off-books portfolio, which under Ind AS, it is treated as an on-books portfolio. These are the two major items which has happened.
So for both of them, so like for the first one, you mentioned that for credit cost, so that would have had an additional charge on net worth, right? Because your provisions on loans under IGAAP versus Ind AS would be higher, like under Ind AS, those are higher. Is that right?
No. Under ES, as I was explaining earlier also to the previous callers, as per the Ind AS, the amount that needs to be taken as a provision, including the standard provision, comes to around roughly 57%. And in the earlier IGAAP, if you take that 71% coverage that we were maintaining on the on books and around slightly higher number, around slightly lower number in case of securitized portfolio, the weighted average was around 67%. So effectively 10% is the reduction in the coverage, which has resulted in an increase in the net worth.
Okay.
So in fact, it is beneficial, and we have always been guiding that company has been conservatively holding an higher coverage, and we were waiting the Ind AS transition to happen because we were also not very clear what will be the impact on the provisioning. And we were always carrying a higher provisioning, even though there were pressures from all quarters to reduce the provision. We relented to that, and then did not relent to that, and then we were maintaining that 70%. But now under Ind AS, when we computed the PD as well as the LGD, we felt that it is lower, the requirement was lower, and we reduced that.
Okay. And apart from that, the disclosure you have made on provision analysis, so you have disclosed total ECL stage 1 and 2 loans and mm-hmm. the provision you have made on that. Can you mm-hmm. just give a broad, like what will the mix between stage 1 and 2?
See, as per the India's requirements, stage 1 is typically cases which are in the current bucket or up to 30 days. And stage 2 are the cases which fall between 31 days and then 90 days. And stage 3 is greater than 90 days. And in stage 1 and all the stages, we need to compute the probability of default and the loss given default, which we compute product-wise. For us, the products are new use and then business loan and equipment portfolio. All those things are treated as a separate category of product. And in each thing, based on the historical thing, we arrive at the probability of default. In stage 1 cases, we apply a 12-month probability of default, whereas in stage 2, the lifetime probability of default is computed. And in stage 3, 100% probability of default is considered. And on these numbers, we apply the LGD, which is roughly around 34%, which I had indicated in the earlier call. And on the exposure at default, these percentages are applied, and we arrive at the provision required.
Okay, and how much would be stage 1 and stage 2 loans? Like how much percent of your loans would be in stage 2?
Around 9% of the cases are in stage 3 and stage 1, stage 1 and stage 2 put together is 78% is in stage 1.
Okay.
And the balance 13% in stage 2.
Okay, so this is helpful. And apart from that, you mentioned about securitization. So it has come on books and you have entered, you know, recognized a corresponding line for borrowings and
correct.
In the loans. Is that right?
Correct. Right.
Okay. 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 Thank you, sir. This is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. Most of my questions have been answered. I am just looking for one more data point. Can you give me the securitization income and expenses in this quarter and the corresponding quarter last year? Thank you.
You want as per the IGAAP or?
As per Indes.
Hold on, I'll just give you. So securitization income in, okay, no, I don't have it offhand because we have clubbed it along with the interest income. So maybe we'll send it through Sanjay.
Sure, sir. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitesh Gulati from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my question. Just a clarification. So stage 1 is up to 30 days, stage 2 is up to 90, and stage 3 is beyond 90. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So you said something on in reversal of interest income. You mentioned that an expected credit loss model, it starts only in stage 3 cases.
See, what I'm clarifying is that after the IGAAP, when we are following IGAAP, we also are required to follow the RBI prudential norms. The RBI prudential norms require an asset once it becomes an NPA, that is 90 days and above. We are supposed to re-recognize all the interest income which has not been collected on those cases. So, but whereas in the NPAs, we can collect, accrue the interest income, we need not reverse that. So, that has been re-reversed in NPAs. That's what I was just clarifying. Effectively, on stage 3 cases, the interest income which was reversed in IGAAP has been re-reversed and taken as an income.
So we don't need to de-recognize interest income in NDS, is that what
correct.
You're saying?
Correct.
Not after even it becoming an NPA?
Even if it becomes an NPA, we need not de-recognize. However, on those entire principal plus interest, we need to provide an ECL.
Yes, my question was on the gross NPA, net NPA numbers under NDS.
See, India's the stage 3 and thing, if you take, it comes around 9.15%. 9.15% is the gross NPA number. And net NPA number, is, I don't have that right now, but okay, I can send it through Sanjay. But for the benefit of you, the as per the IGAAP, if you see the gross NPA numbers are 8.98% and the net NPA is 2.74%. Compared with 9.15% gross NPA as on March 2018 and net NPA number of 2.83. So there has been a reduction in the gross NPA numbers.
Yes, sir. So if we had a 57% coverage on Ind AS, so can we exclude that from 9.15 gross NPA and get to net NPA? Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. I don't have the figure right now, but that is the way we need to calculate.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunil T from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much, sir. It's actually going back to one of the earlier questions on the securitization income. Not necessarily looking for the exact numbers, but just want to understand how does the revenue accounting change under into Ind AS, because it's on book. I mean, because earlier we had only the spread being booked in the revenues. Is that any different now?
The net result to the P&L is same, but what happens is that let us give an example of the 20 rupees is the income that I am getting from a customer A, and what I am paying to the buyer of the portfolio is say 10 rupees. So the net 10 rupees used to be booked as an income, net income. However, now under Ind AS, since it is taken as an asset and liability, the 20 rupees goes to the revenue and 10 rupees goes to the interest cost. So net result will be the same.
Right, okay. And in terms of timing, you know, the fact that the interest component of the pool's EMIs would be higher in the initial part and lower in the later part, that
that will not affect, because earlier also we used to book the income over a period of the tenor of the contract only, which we are still continuing.
Okay, understood. Secondly, in one of these slides on the borrowings, it seems like, you know, versus last year, your share of commercial papers has gone up. So is that something as a, you know, tactically you're looking at it to manage the rates, or, you know, how are you thinking about it?
Yeah, Parag will take the call. As a conscious decision to do large commercial paper, it was only for the time gap. We did the public issue of retail NCDs, and the money was supposed to come only during the month, and it came in the month of July. So only for the short period we did do some CP, but this is not will not be the focus area for sure.
Okay, so I mean it's now gone back to close to zero. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, it has come down substantially.
Okay, thank you. And you know, another follow-up question on the SPL guarantee, which you clarified has now become an on-book exposure. Does it make any difference under Ind AS that the counterparty is actually, you know, got downgraded by credit rating agencies, you know, referred to NCLT, etc.? I mean, those things don't matter in terms of how you look at it as a credit loss.
Not really. See, we have taken valuation reports and other data points, and then we are classifying it as a standard asset. And whatever is the ECL applicable for the stage one has been applied on.
Okay. So thank you very much.
Not much of a thing, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alpesh Mehta from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi. Good evening and congrats for the good set of numbers. First question is, normally at the time of transition, the adjustments to the reserves are as of 1st April 2017. Whereas in our case, it's as of 4Q FY18. Why is that?
See, if you recollect, we have been transitioning to 90-day norm as on March. So there was not much of a benefit as on March 2017. However, when we shifted to 90 days NPA recognition, the provision created was high in the last quarter. And similarly, when we are moving into Ind AS, in March 2017, there was more or less not much of a benefit that we were getting. However, over a period of time, in the last quarter of 2018, the entire benefit flowed in. And that is the reason why the reserves improved in the March 18 and not in March 17.
Okay, so but our net worth number as per Indian GAAP and the Ind AS is more or less the same as of 1Q FY18. Whereas logically it should have been low, right?
As on 31st March 2018, the net worth has increased by around 880.
No, I'm saying 30th June 2017.
30th June 2017, yeah, not much of a gap. It was more or less the same.
Yeah, but logically, it should have been, because under Ind AS it's 90 DPD, whereas in where we were following 120 DPD, right? So the provision hit should have been higher there, right?
Yeah, but if you see, we were having an higher coverage of 71% on 120 days, which was more or less equal to a 57% coverage.
Got it. And second question is, when you recognize the interest of around 570 crores on the NPL, do you also make the similar, you make the provision as per the loss given default, or it's the,
correct,
it should be treated at like a funded interest term loan?
No. We provide that 34-35% whatever is the LGD on those products.
Okay, and so, we don't have any impact of EIR, because we would have some processing fees and the other
not
fees aligned to the loans, right?
It is there, but not significant. For the size that we are not collecting much in terms of processing fees, and hence the benefit is not flowing.
Okay. And the SVL loan, which has come on balance sheet as a standard loan, how would the income recognition happen on that? Because it was an off balance sheet, so it was just a guarantee, right? But now it's on balance sheet. Would you be recognizing interest income? I don't know how the accounting treatment on the P&L side would work on this.
No, we are eligible to collect guarantee commission only, and we accrue the guarantee commission, whatever is the agreed rate, that has been booked over a period of time.
Okay,
and
lastly,
there is nothing changing.
And lastly, any communication from RBI, since you guys are treating securitization on books and it is also on books on the bank's balance sheet. So at the system level, it leads to a double counting, right? So any communication from RBI about this on this front?
No, we have written the treatment that is being done after Ind AS. We had seeked a clarification for which they have given an appointment in the end of July, wherein we will be communicating all these concerns, which has already been written to them in May. So from there, no reply has come.
And how are rating agencies looking at this now? Because since the capital requirement increases when you are moving towards Ind AS, would the rating agencies continue to look at it as per the Indian GAAP, wherein the only 5% capital requirement or the debt to equity ratio as per the earlier accounting, or they are moving towards Ind AS when looking at the debt to equity ratio?
The rating agencies previously also for the securitized portfolio, they used to look at what is the overall that capital adequacy and debt equity for securitized portfolio also. They used to consider that. And as per Ind AS, the overall capital adequacy has only gone up. So I don't think there will be any rating agency questions regarding this.
Okay, and lastly, can you share the number of PD for stage 1 and stage 2, please?
PD, one second. PD is 5.82 for a 12-month PD, the stage 1-1, and stage 2 it is the lifetime PD which we apply is 13.39, and for stage 3 it is anyway 100% PD, and the LGD is 33.8.
Okay, and just last clarification, when you have recognized the 570 crores of interest income, at the time of transition it should have been a part of the EIR, right? Effective interest rate when you are moving to, when the transition is happening?
No, it will not be part of EIR. It will be, it has been grouped in others, but the 578 crore benefit has not come in a particular quarter. So what we have reported here is June quarter versus June, so it will not typically come out here in the reconciliation.
No, but at the net worth reconciliation, it should be the part of, 570 crore should be the part of the net worth reconciliation. I understand not for the quarter, but at the net, for the net worth reconciliation, it should be the part.
It will come, yeah.
So again, so just to get the number correct, the EIR component, what would be the exact EIR and the ECL component? I understand others are very small, but what is the exact EIR and the ECL component at the time of transition?
I don't have the number right now. Maybe through Sanjay, I'll send it across to you.
Okay. Thanks a lot and all the best for the people.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Umang Shah from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. All my questions have been answered. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishin Chavate from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. The number of 69,180, I mean, I just wanted to kind of, you know, get a reconciliation of that.
I didn't get it. Can you just repeat the question?
Sorry, this is 6,900 crores, you know, basically the provisions under IGAAP. You know, you're giving a reconciliation. Maybe you can just, you know, help me with that.
Okay. Yeah, under IGAAP, what we have given in the slide also is that NPA as per IGAAP is 7,458 crore, and on account of the off-book component, it increases by 1,121 crore. And on account of income, which was de-recognized in the IGAAP, which has been recognized, comes to 5,000 crore. The summation of all three comes to 9,159.
Okay. Okay. Sure, great. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Ganatra from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Sir, how would you see your cost to income ratio post this Ind AS transaction? Any target for FY19?
We maintain around a broad range of 20 to 24. Current quarter, I think it is around 22%, I believe.
Any fundraising plan?
Of equity?
Yeah.
Equity, at least as of now, in the next 2 years, at least we don't intend raising any capital.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ishan Kumar from UPS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just on provision on stage 1, stage 2 and stage 3. So based on what we have discussed on stage 1, that is 78% of loan, we have a provision of 2%, which is equivalent to 2% of loans. On stage 2, around 4.5%, and stage 3, 34%. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, and so if the loan moves from stage 1 to stage 2, you require provision of only incremental 2.5%. And then
yeah.
Provisioning will increase if it moves from stage 2 to stage 3.
Correct.
Okay. Now, this is lower than what we were doing in terms of provisioning on impaired loans in earlier accounting system. So then when we are guiding our credit cost of 2%, is this credit cost for the full year or is it by Q4 FY19?
It's Q4 FY19.
Okay. And it is because provisioning requirement will be lower in new accounting.
Correct, yeah.
Okay. Is there any guidance on gross NPL also by March 19?
The like-to-like IGAAP, which was 9.15 in FY 2018 end, so that we have a guidance of...
No, we have a plan to bring it down to around 8.5 level.
Okay. And lastly, on slide number 5, this rural versus urban AUM breakup for Q1 FY18 looks incorrect.
Q1
FY18, because rural you are showing at 27,900, which looks higher, right? Because March 2017 number was 20,700.
Okay. Any which way, we'll just check this and come back to you.
Yeah, because if you look at urban growth, it's all more than 20%.
Okay, we'll just recheck this number and then come back to you.
Okay, sir. Okay, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishant Rungta from Premji Invest. Please go ahead.
So, thank you so much for the opportunity. Just trying to again get some clarity on the securitization portfolio and the treatment thereof. Wanted to understand if you need to set aside capital on the securitization portfolio now, and there was no deterioration in CAR that was entirely on account of the favorable impact on net worth. Is that the case?
Correct. Agreed. So
okay.
Then, yeah.
Okay, and what does it do to the securitization market, sir? Because now that you do not have a capital relief, is there an incentive to go out and incrementally securitize the portfolio?
You see, securitization has been one of the fundraising options for the company. And since the customers whom we service are priority customers as defined by Reserve Bank of India, so it gives a lot of cost advantage to us to borrow through this route. So that was the only reason why we were doing securitization in a big way. So we used to securitize our portfolio to the banks which need those assets. And it used to be the cheaper source of fund for us. So we'll continue to do securitization, not for any other purpose, but for the lower cost of fund.
Okay. So secondly, just trying to reconcile the borrowing figure on slide 9 and slide 12. Slide 12 says the borrowing figure as of 1QFY18 was 71,860 crores, whereas the total of the the borrowing figure and the balance sheet as per Ind AS is roughly 73,000 crores. So what is the difference? I'm just trying to reconcile that both for 1QFY18 and 19.
We'll just send you this reconciliation to you or me.
Sure, sir. And lastly, I just wanted to understand the interest accrued on the gross NPA figures. Is that treated as part of the loans in balance sheet, or is it as far, classified as other current assets in the?
Is part of the loans and loans.
Loans, is it, sir? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pankaj Agarwal from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead. Pankaj Agarwal from Ambit Capital, please go ahead with your questions.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. You had an option not including securitization while calculating Tier 1 capital, right? But still you went ahead with this calculation.
Correct. We had an option. We didn't exercise the option.
Okay. Any particular reason? I mean, because RBI has not clarified this.
It would have been aggressive taking the entire part as income. So we thought it appropriate to, and once we take it upfront, then the subsequent quarters anyway, the hit will come. So we thought it as well to take it on a deferred basis.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Gupta from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just for a clarification, so if I understood this correctly, the interest accrued on stage 3 loans is also included in interest income, right?
Correct, yeah.
So ideally, this was earlier reversed when you were under the IGAAP regime, right? So
yeah.
Ideally, going forward, shouldn't your cost to income ratio, see an improvement automatically in NIMS as well, considering that the base now includes interest income which is accrued and not actually, earned?
See, what happens is that since we have already moved to 90 days norm, the interest component which has been accrued and not realized will not be significant, and hence even on NPA cases, what is not recognized as per IGAAP will not be significant enough to vitiate this number.
No, so if I understand correctly, like 9.15% of your loans will be in stage 3, right? So any interest accrued on these will also be included in interest income going forward.
So earlier also, whatever has been accrued and realized was never reversed in IGAAP also. Whatever is accrued but not realized only was being reversed.
Right. So, but in this, under the Ind AS, if I understand correctly, all the interest is included, right?
Correct. But parallelly on the same thing, around 35% or 34% needs to be provided immediately.
Correct.
So effectively, the benefit may be around 60-odd% of the interest thing. So there may be some benefit. I don't deny that, yeah.
Yeah, that was just for my understanding. Thank you so much, sir.
Correct.
Thank you. So that was the last question in queue. So any closing comments from your end?
Thank you for the lot of interest. I think there was a lot of queries on Ind AS, and maybe by next quarter it will be settled, all the issues. However, we have just crossed 1 lakh crore AUM, and we are looking forward for next milestone. And definitely our next milestone would be reaching the 2 lakh crore AUM. And this year we'll work as per the guidelines, broad guidelines of 18-20% AUM growth. And the credit cost and the overall NPLs should be coming under control. And we believe there will be significant improvement as the monsoon progression is quite good. and by this year end we should get the best results. So thank you very much for the interest in the company, and hope to reach you all in the next quarter call. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Shriram Transport Finance Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.